Earthquake Commission assessors in Wellington are about to get busy after a large number of landslips in the drenched capital this week. Landslip damage is deemed a natural disaster, so residential land is covered by EQC. But there are still misconceptions about what can and can't be claimed. We're joined now by the Chief Executive of EQC, Tina Mitchell. Kia ora, good morning.
Morning, Corin. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Okay, just walk us through again what is covered when some land on your property slips and how it affects your house.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. We're having a real period of volatile weather at the moment, which is stressful for a lot of customers, not only in Wellington, actually, across the whole country. So what we have is a scheme that's actually quite unique in the world. Most insurance schemes will cover a residential house, but we're one of the only schemes in the world that covers the land under the house. So what we cover is the land that sits immediately under the house and then a perimeter around the house, part of your driveway, and then some of the structures you might have on your section, like land under the garage, retaining walls, bridges, culverts, that kind of thing. It's quite technical, to be fair, so the most important thing I would say to people is if you think you might have damage, the best thing to do is call your private insurer and talk it through.
And what happens if land, say that's council land or somebody else's land, slips into your property and puts you out of your house?
Well, it all depends on where the damage occurs as to whether or not we cover it. So it could be that the land from elsewhere, it doesn't really matter where the land comes from, if it slides into the area that we cover, which is that footprint under the house and then that 8 metre perimeter or your driveway, then we're interested and we want to have a look at it and see if we can help customers work through that, if that makes sense. So it's really just where does the damage occur.
One of the things is that people often have to get out of their house quite quickly, don't they? And then they can't get things, they have to go and get accommodation. Do you help quickly with that?
If the house is damaged, then it's a mixture of the EQC cover but also the private insurance cover, and most of the time temporary accommodation is covered by that as well.
Are there parts of areas of land which are deemed more high risk? Do limb reports come into things? I mean, how complicated can it get? If you're in a particularly steep cliff, for example, and your house is right at the top, would there be a provision on that?
There is all sorts of frameworks in place to keep people safe. So the building code, if your house is being built on a particularly technical section, you know, as you'll know, councils do a lot of work fortifying land. But we're really there to ask those two things. We spend a lot on research and science to understand the perils and understand the different types of land, right down to the soil type, et cetera, across New Zealand. And then we're there to help when a disaster happens. So the prevention side is really a partnership around lots of agencies, and then we're there to help people get back on their feet when the damage is there.
Well, you mentioned it's a problem. How big a problem is it? Has it been over the last month or so with this rain, record rainfall in Wellington? I think Christchurch also had record rainfall. How many claims are you seeing?
We've had 270 claims in the last 5 weeks and right across the country. So 75 in Wellington, about 50 in Christchurch, and about 40 in Auckland.
And these are for landslips?
Yes.
Are you predicting, though, that with climate change and with these rainfall events, that there are going to be a lot more?
People might be surprised to know, landslips are actually our most common claim anyway over the history of the scheme. Because of the topography of our country and our weather patterns, that is probably more common for us than an earthquake in terms of causing damage. So, I mean, have we seen an increase? It's probably a bit early to say. In the last financial year, we got about 1,100. And we're certainly tracking that over time and working with agencies like the Ministry for the Environment.
What about the scale of them and those? I mean, is the scale of the claims increasing, the size, the fact that we seem to be seeing more in the central city areas?
Not particularly, because it all just does depend on where the damage occurs. If it happens at the bottom of the garden, that won't really affect our scheme. But if it happens right next to your house, then it does.
And just to recap on the payment element, if it goes over the $150,000 cap, just talk us through what you pay for and what you won't pay for.
Yeah, sure. So the $150,000 cap is separate. That's for the house. So any damage to the house, the first loss is $150,000, and then you go to your private insurance policy. It's best to think of the land separately, because that's the unique thing that only our scheme offers. Other insurers don't offer that here or anywhere else in the world. the land is figured out by, we first of all measure it and go how much of our covered land has been affected. Then we would go, what would it cost to get a geotech in? How much would it cost to repair it? Get a valuer in, what's the value of the house? And then we pay the repairs up to the value of that portion of the land. So it's not the whole
thing. And even if it's astronomical, I mean, I don't mean to be flippant, but if it's a high amount, there's no cap on that?
There is a cap. It's quite a technical way of calculating it. I mean, I can tell you what it says in the Act, but the best thing is for people to call us. So it's the smallest of the actual damaged area, or 4,000 square metres, or the minimum residential lot size under the district plan. So, yeah, it sounds a bit like tax law, doesn't it?
Is there a ballpark sort of range? I don't know, how much would that be? You know, are we talking hundreds of thousands?
Well, it depends, again, where the house is, isn't it? So 4,000 square metres in Auckland might be worth a lot more than 4,000 square metres elsewhere. So it really is, the methodology is meant to try and flatten, make all of it accessible to people right across the country. So it's pretty hard to give a ballpark figure because it really just does depend where it happens.
Can you actually stabilise some of these big slips? I mean, that's the other danger, isn't it? That's it once these things start to move.
Yeah, and part of our scheme actually does cover for imminent damage as well, which is another unique thing. So not only the damage that's occurred, but the experts can say, we think that land will move further in the next 12 months so we can assess and pay for imminent damage. But what people can do if they're worried, I mean, if you've got a claim, you call your private insurer, they'll sort it out. If you're worried about the nature of your section, there are geotechnical engineers and other experts that you can call to say, how can I fortify my section? Is it a retaining wall? Are there some other structural engineering structures I can put in place to fortify my house?
Tina Mitchell, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate that. EQC Chief Executive there with some very interesting news you can use, I guess, if you're in Wellington and worried about, or anywhere actually in the country that's been affected by slips and land slips.